Now, back to Good Morning New Hampshire with Peter St. James and Pat Kelly on 107.7 The Pulse.
With tears in her eyes, she said, I have a confession to make. And I said, woman, speak what's on your mind.
She said, I found love.
Okay, do you know why I played this?
Oh,
who did it?
This is Feel So Alone. I know the song. I found someone of my own.
Yeah, okay, great. You know the song.
Yeah,
who
okay,
did it?
I did. No.
The Free Movement.
The Free Movement.
Whoa.
Okay.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Because today we're going to... Going to do Primal Movement.
Aren't you?
So I was either going to do John Lennon and Primal Screams,
okay,
or I was going to do I Found Someone of My Own,
okay,
with Free Movement.
Free Movement. Okay,
so I wasn't sure which way
good
to go.
You.
There you go. Well, man, I'm working for you, Greg.
You are moving. You are moving.
That was nice. I didn't get it, but finally with the artist name, perfect.
Right. Once the reveal came,
there you go.
You got it.
Yeah, because today Greg is going to lead us through. Primal Movement. before we get to our guest, good morning, Vince and Jim. Tell me, how are things at the co-op?
Oh, things are going well at the co-op. Still very, very busy. Curbside pickup for all is working great.
That's awesome.
And the rounded up at the register this past month, it was the Live and Let Live Rescue Farm, and they're about $2,500 on the month. So, donations to that program have actually fallen off quite a bit because we have less customer flow. But when customers are in the store, they have considerably more in their basket. But and then also the curbside pickup's a little bit, a little bit more awkward to be. Asking the question, do you want to round up? But the program that started last April is very close to having raised $50,000 for
wow.
local nonprofits. So program's still going very, very well. And today, if people are looking for something for lunch or dinner, they start rotisserie chickens at the Grab and Go. So
ooh.
Day
ooh.
One for rotisserie chickens
ooh.
At the Concord Food Co-op.
Oh, wow. And you know, the $2,500 is still, the donations for nonprofits have fallen off across the board. So if somebody walks in with $2,500, that is a godsend, Greg.
It is. And to your point, donations haven't just fallen off, but the events, you know, the
right.
nonprofit sector very much depends on hosting fundraising events, and those have just come to a screeching halt
yep.
with really no idea when to redo them. I think most nonprofits are just looking to 2021 at this point. So if you have a favorite nonprofit that you support, I think the vast majority of them could use your support now more than ever.
Oh, absolutely. Well said. Who is the recipient of Rounded Up next month?
Equality Health Center on Main Street.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, they were very... I wasn't that familiar with the organization, but they had a ton of votes. So it was last August that every time you shop, you were able to place a vote for the nonprofit of your choice. There were probably 60 on the board, and that was one of the top 12.
Well, and nice. You know, it's incumbent upon you. It's incumbent upon us during this time to shine the spotlight as much as we can on the nonprofits in terms of dollars or just attention to remind people that the issues that created these nonprofits still exist and they still need your help, as you pointed out. So whether you give, whether you volunteer, or at least as long as we can keep talking about it, that's a huge help.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And, they always have the opportunity to they usually have a rack card at the Concord Food Co-op that provides information about them. And it's also a link on our website where the Rounded Up for the Register program is. So we try to, you know, provide as much exposure to the organization as we can during their spotlighted month for them.
Excellent. So today you've got Jim and Vincent. What? Primal Movement. What is that? Walking Like a Caveman? What am I doing?
You know, I don't know either.
Okay.
It was Jim's suggestion to have this as a topic, and I said, I'm not sure what it is. I have this, idea, but I don't know how close I am. And, right about now on a humid day today, I don't know if it's just about going and finding a cold cave and hiding it. So I'm very anxious to hear what Primal Movement is all about. And they both are very active in that area of wellness. And so I'm anxious to hear exactly what it is Jim and Vincent are doing.
Vincent, multidisciplinary movement teacher guide, currently working toward obtaining a master's degree in clinical mental health counseling and dance movement therapy. Do the two of those go hand in hand, Vincent?
They do. They do. It's essentially it's a two-for-one deal. So,
okay. So it's not like, this is my main course and this is a sub, but they actually go together.
Yeah, so the actual master's is in CMHC, so the clinical mental health counseling, and then it's a certificate program for the dance movement therapy.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
But ideally they would coincide, with a, individual practice or a group practice, yeah.
All right. Jim Reedy, Jim teaching yoga meditation for past 25 years, former attorney. Are you ever a former attorney? Or you're always an attorney, aren't you?
I'm always an attorney in recovery.
Okay, there you go.
There we go. Take a look at that.
And a Concord Food Co-op board member. His mission is to help individuals live their healthiest, happiest, and fullest lives possible. In addition to yoga, he also leads workshops and retreats in conscious communication, men's work, love you, man, couples work, and wait for it, mindful improv comedy.
Yeah, we
Thank
got
you.
It.
Well,
see,
I was going
timing.
With that little pregnant
it's all
pause
about
there.
Timing.
There
yep.
you go. There you go. You can get more at nhyogacenter.com.
Yeah, so that was about 9 months pregnant. That was
Thank
very
pregnant. Well, hey, we're all about the drama here. Come on, Jim.
I know, but you know what? Actually, Vincent, right now you're starting to hear in the news, not only just about coronavirus, but about mental health being affected by having to stay at home, having to stay secluded. So really, you guys are we're talking about this at the right time.
I think so. And I think the practice that we're going to talk about today, you can do it indoors, but it encourages movement outside. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the issues that people are facing right now is there's definitely a fear or apprehension of wanting to spend time outside and in nature. So, hopefully we can encourage people to do that, safely and from a social distancing standpoint, but also to, for their mental and physical well-being.
And how? How does that help my physical? And I mean, I understand the movement involved, but how does it help?
How does it help? Well, I mean, there's a lot of studies now that show the correlation between physical well-being and mental wellness, right? So we tend to look at the mind and the body as separate, but essentially it's one whole unit, right? Mm-hmm. So one is going to impact the other. So I know for myself, I have a daily movement practice, and I know that when I don't tend to myself in that way with that movement practice, if I miss it or if it lacks in some way, then I find that my mental well-being also sort of suffers.
Are you sitting in the lotus position right now?
I am not. I'm actually, I just finished my morning mobility practice, so I'm actually pacing around my apartment.
Okay. Nice. There you okay. Because I've seen you do that, and it's like, wow, that must hurt, but okay. I don't know how you do it. You're just limber, man. Jim, you've been teaching yoga and meditation, and some people, yoga, okay, what is this? But they've been doing it for, what, 2,500 years? So it's not a new concept.
No, it's not new age at all. Some people say it's at least 5,000 years old.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, it's a very natural way to move in our bodies and be in our bodies, just as the animal movements that we're going to talk about today, the primal movement, very natural, very organic. It's not a new phenomenon. The fact that we're rediscovering it.
We're rediscovering it, yoga and meditation and primal movement. But again, as you pointed out, they, quote unquote, could have been doing it for up to 5,000 years, but they didn't start. What, they didn't start consciously saying, hey, we're going to do this for our physical and mental health. cats, but or did they? I don't know.
Well, and again, like just to kind of go back to what I said previously, I think particularly as it applies to yoga, I think there was an understanding of the mind-body connection. And so I think if you look at a lot of older yogic texts, they don't talk about the mind and body as two separate entities, right? So I think the idea of reaching heightened states of consciousness through movement was something that was always there. So maybe they didn't have necessarily the language to describe it in the ways that we would today, you know, utilizing things like scientific studies. But I think the awareness was something that was always present.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I think, you know, and I think it's really funny how something physical can help your mind focus. You know what I mean? It's not just like, okay, my mind can go off and do something else because I'm being physical right now. No, the physicality of what it is that you guys do, it brings your mind into focus, and isn't that a wonderful thing for a few minutes every day?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And I mean, if you look at it from a neurological standpoint, I mean, we're talking about, you know, physical movement releasing certain chemicals in the brain that help to improve things like cognition, help to improve things like to combat depression, to increase our capacity for joy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, for me,
what is the actual primal movement?
Yeah.
What is the movement, or what are you doing? What does it consist of?
Well, I'll say just a little bit, and then we'll hand it over to Vincent, because I think he's done a little more research than I have on this. But, Peter, you were not too far off when you suggested that it was walking like a caveman, walking like various animals, moving like animals move. Moving like we were designed originally to move. If you think of us as being descended from apes or monkeys or chimpanzees, holding on to tree limbs, swinging from tree limb to tree, climbing trees, just moving on all fours as opposed to just on being bipedal, moving on just two legs.
Huh.
Vincent, go ahead. You've done a little more research, I think, than I have.
Yeah, and I think, Jim, I think you did a really good job of describing it. And I think just to kind of create a little context, you know, primal movement is just the way that, you know, Jim and I and some other people choose to describe it, but it's known as other things like animal locomotion, animal flow. Some people even call it natural movement because it's that idea of returning to how humans, maybe even our ancestors, moved, right? But, yeah, Jim made a good point. So it's a shift away from bipedal movement, so things like walking, running, jumping, right, doing things on our legs, to focusing our attention to the floor or the ground. So quadrupedal movement, so moving on all fours, which, you know, is something that might seem like simple, but when you really start to engage, particularly when you're moving from one place to another on all fours, it's actually extremely difficult. And the idea of it being beneficial to the body is that you're really engaging multiple muscle groups at one time, right? So humans, we tend to have very stronger lower bodies, but our upper bodies have imbalances because we don't utilize them in the same way that we use our legs with the same level of frequency.
Hmm. So humans became bipedal because I'm assuming, as you pointed out, it would free up the hands. I mean, you had the hunter-gatherer. It freed up their hands for carrying and using tools, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Thank you. Okay. And as they migrated, migrating from Siberia to different parts, environmental, to different environments would necessitate going bipedal as well, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay, yep. All right. I'm there. I'm getting there.
Yeah.
I'm a slow learner, but I'm getting there.
Yeah.
All right.
But even with that said, you know, the idea of, you know, the body is still very functional in that quadrupedal form. It's just, again, like Jim had mentioned, it's just something that we've sort of forgotten how to do. But our bodies can still remember it. You know, it might take a little bit of time to develop and practice to sort of build up those smaller muscle groups that we may not have been utilizing through contemporary exercise. But there is definitely a way to reconnect it.
So am I, like, walking around on the floor with hands and feet?
Yeah, I mean, that would be a start of it.
Okay.
I think, you know, you can scale it. I think most people, the way that I would coach it if I was working one-on-one with someone or in a group setting, I would start by having them on all fours. So kind of in a, you know, in yoga we call it, you know, the cat and cow position, which is where you elongate the spine and then retract it, creating a rounding in the back.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have them start in that position. And then gradually press into their palms and the balls of their feet to start to lift their knees off the floor. which is going to obviously engage your abdominals, your core muscles. So for people, that would be a starting point, and I think most people would find that exceedingly difficult. And then, you know, the following movement after that would be to move in a homolateral way, so moving, say, the right arm forward and then the left leg, then the left arm forward and then the right leg.
Oh, okay, yep.
Vincent, can you make the distinction between that and yoga? It sounds like a lot of the same motions of yoga. So, what is the difference?
Do you want to speak to that, Jim?
Yeah, I'll just speak quickly to that. I've noticed that a lot of the yoga postures that we do and the animal or primal movements that we do are extremely related. They're almost identical. The only difference being, in many cases, is that in the primal or animal movements, we're moving. And in yoga, we sometimes call them postures or poses because we're just holding it still.
Mm-hmm.
But many of your listeners may be familiar with the downward dog. If you start to move the downward dog, moving your hands and your feet across the room or across the yard, we might call that the bear walk. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of the yoga postures that we would do on all fours, if you just start moving them, you'll be doing pretty much an animal movement.
Wow. Now, is this a whole subspecialty, or is this, something that would get me more into yoga, or is this just, part of the whole picture?
I'm going to say something radical. I just want to say this quickly, Vincent. I think if you started doing animal movements, you might not ever even bother with yoga.
No kidding. Wow.
Because it's the same. Because it's the same thing, as I was just saying. It's the same poses or postures mm-hmm. or positions, mm-hmm. but just in movement. So it really is yoga, but a lot of people won't necessarily recognize it these days as yoga.
Am I getting the same mental acuity and the benefits from the primal movement as I would be from yoga?
As long as you're not on your cell phone while you're doing it, yeah.
Jeez. Well, yeah, that kind of defeats the purpose, doesn't it?
Well, if you do it outside, as Vincent was talking about earlier, it encourages you to do it outside because, there's this other subset that, called grounding or earthing. I think Vincent and I have probably talked about this in prior shows, where we're connecting directly with the earth, receiving the negative ions that the earth gives off, which, among other things, helps to clear up free radicals in our body. It's just very enlivening to be touching the earth with bare feet, bare hands. I forgot where I was going with that, but I wanted to make sure we got that in there. That there's something really enlivening about doing these animal movements outside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Are there primary animals that you're, trying to mimic their movements, or is it anything goes? Look at me, I'm walking like a duck. Special animals? I mean, you already mentioned, monkeys or whatever, but what else you got?
Yeah, so it really goes across the spectrum, Greg. And I think, depending on what school of thought, because there are, different branches or subsets and different kind of patented practices that people have developed over time, different types of systems, and they each sort of engage, a few of the main sort of ones, kind of like the bear walk Jim was talking about. Another one would be like the snail, which is where you walk yourself out to a plank position, then walk your feet back into a forward fold position. That would be another one that kind of goes across all the spectrum and systems, but they have different names for them. But across the board, the movements are the same. They just might have a different name. Someone might call something a bear walk, and another person might call it, some kind of different animal name. But it does. It does incorporate a lot of different spectrums from the animal kingdom, and that's something I like about it.
Wow.
It's kind of unique, and I think animal mimicry is something that humans have embodied for a long time, and a lot of our ancestors did that, when we were in tribal cultures. And there's something powerful about connecting, to the animal species and mm-hmm. recognizing that we're not separate from them. We too are animals. So
yeah,
that's cool, Vincent.
Just to connect yoga and animal movement once again, a lot of the yoga poses are animal names. Some of them are things like trees, but anything in nature really was fair game. The early yogis.
Oh, that makes sense. Vincent, Artizone?
Yes, Artizone, yep.
Artizone, Reedy, and Lasard. are going to be back. It sounds like a law firm,
doesn't
it?
Oh, it does.
It really or a lobbying group. I like that. But, yes, Artisone, Reedy, and Lessard back right after this.
Sometimes he'd get up, try to do his thing. He'd begin to move. Something like this. Tired of dancing alone, he'd look in the mirror, he'd say, gotta find a woman, gotta find a woman, gotta find a woman, gotta find a woman.
Remember that song? Jimmy Casterbrunch.
I do.
It was Troglodyte, Caveman, for 1972.
That's perfect.
Yep. So he'd get up and move, and he'd dance. So it's exactly what Vincent and Jim are talking about.
Yeah. Wow. You got me moving. That song's got me moving to my apartment.
I know. See, yeah. That was great. That was great.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's really what you need to kind of get yourself motivated and get your life on track.
From an individual standpoint, is primal movement a hard sell? I mean, yoga for some people, okay, yeah, I kind of get it. There's a history, a tradition. There's a sensibility about it. But primal movement, walking like a monkey, walking like a caveman, is that a harder sell?
Well, I try to weave it into my yoga classes where folks are already doing things that are resembling the primal movement. Uh-huh. So sometimes I won't even call it animal movement because it's just a natural extension of yoga. So for a yoga audience, probably not a really hard sell, but I'm not even trying to sell it. In my life, I'm just using it because it's so natural. It feels good. I have found, I think Vincent has found this too, when you show somebody how to do this and they do it, it sells itself.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't sell it with words so easily. But
right.
That makes sense.
Again, movement works.
Hey, Greg, when's the rotisserie chicken going up?
Today, available at 9 a.m. They're cooking it off right now as we speak, and so 9 a.m. it's out there.
ConcordFoodCoop.coop. Vincent, Jim, Greg, as always, thanks, guys.